Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org and on Facebook, WNIN Facebook Live. You can give us a call tonight. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I'm Evan Beck, your voice for the greatest tradition in college basketball, the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Court Rushers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, you are so funny. But you know what? I'll take that because we rushed the court because why?
You won a big game.
You won
your first back-to-back game segment since December. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Congratulations, Hoosiers. You're one game over 500. This time last week, I was congratulating you guys getting to 500.
No kidding.
Is it that right, 15 and 14?
15 and 14, yeah. So we are on a two-game winning streak, but
wow,
earlier I said to start a streak, you need to win one first.
Right.
So we did that, and
right.
Fans tonight, I am going to be a little bit nervous because I might get minutes for this Illinois game. I'm trying to prep. We're getting ready to tip off at 7, so we'll see what happens.
For our listeners, our pre-show prepping here about the last 30 minutes, I've noticed Chad's been a little bit different in his demeanor. He's been pacing up and down.
The clock's throwing me off.
The clock's already an hour ahead for some reason.
We're springing forward early.
For our Facebook Live listeners and watchers, you're noticing that our intern, Walker Beck, is not here tonight. We have actually a regular caller.
Yeah.
This is Coach from Murray. Dave Carr is in studio tonight filling in for Walker, as Walker has some high school golf obligations to fulfill. So Dave is in charge of running our Twitter feed, again, at Red Blue Hoops. So let's get Dave some work tonight.
Get some Twitter action here.
But tell you what, so I was thinking driving downtown tonight, Chad, I noticed that days are getting longer.
Yep.
Which means we're getting closer to true March Madness.
We are.
But, you know, conference tournaments are starting next week. But, man, college basketball has been crazy this week. Crazy.
Well, what were you saying earlier, that this year going into the tournament, it will be the most – more than likely the most losses ever in the field of 68.
That's correct. And if I remember correctly, last year we were saying the same thing.
We were.
So we're already breaking that record. I mean, you've got teams like Indiana with 14 losses. They lost 12 out of 13 and are on the bubble. And that, to me, is insane. What's your conference record right now?
6-12.
See, that just, for me, it'll be interesting. I'll have a hard time swallowing if, let's say, Murray State loses in the championship game and they're going to finish the season at, that would be about 27-5, something like that, and they don't get in, and some chump squad like you guys.
Chump squad.
That's 6-12 in conference play, which to me is the acid test. I know you guys have a lot of good wins, but a lot of bad losses.
Well, it depends on how you state bad losses. Statistically, we don't. We don't have any lower and top 100 losses.
Right.
But we're also not done yet, so we could get to 8-12.
That's
so
true.
That's a little bit different. Now, I agree with you. I don't like the sub-500 record in conference. Big Ten does play two more conference
that's
games.
Correct.
And the Big Ten this year is the best conference in the country.
Statistically, that's what they're saying.
It is.
Do you think the Big Ten has a chance of winning a title this year?
I would say that I look at Michigan as a team that could maybe do it.
Is Matthews going to make it back? Severe ankle injury?
You know, that's a little bit interesting. They commented that wasn't sure when. I think he is going to be back, but it sounded more serious than I thought.
Yeah, I think it's severe ligament damage with him.
Michigan State is pretty good.
But you guys have obviously shown Michigan State can be beat.
We have.
We've done it twice.
We have. You know what's interesting, and I'm not going to predict anything, but I'll say this. If IU does get in, they're an interesting team in the field. I'll say, depending, especially if they got a draw that would make some sense.
Here's the most intriguing thing. It dates back to your first Michigan State victory on the road. I tweeted you 10 minutes into that game and said, your defense looks completely different tonight. Now, they had some fumbles after that game, but now look at their defense.
So the last
ranked 23 in the country.
Ranked 23 on KenPom. The last four games, which was Purdue, it was Purdue at home, at mm-hmm. Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan State, against four quality tournament teams, we have the best defense in the country in that four-game sample size.
Yeah.
So I was telling you earlier, Indiana fans, call in, comment on this, but we are the healthiest we've been all year.
Sure.
And I don't think it's a coincidence now that guys are being pushed. The depth is better. Rob Phinisee just played lights out against Michigan State. Cassius Winston had 20 points, 10 assists. He played a great game. He's a great player.
He is. Solid
guard.
But
down the stretch, when Winston was wanting to take over and Michigan State needed a bucket, Phinisee forced him into a turnover the possession before. I don't know if people realize that happened. And then we went down, scored, and then they got the ball back, and then he forced him into a tough shot. So, I mean, he was right there. Phinisee's a strong kid. He moves his feet well.
His body's starting to mature, I know.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Unfortunately, I was in Knoxville and preparing for the Kentucky at Tennessee game. I only got to watch the first 17 minutes of your first half against Michigan State. And at that point in time, Michigan State was shredding you guys up on the interior with that pick and roll. They were shooting about 60%. I think they led, what, by 9 at half or something like that?
35-28. Okay. Langford hit a shot right before halftime.
Yeah, so – but and then – Michigan State did some runs late in the game, went up 6 again late, right?
But
then you guys finished out to win the game.
They did. You know, back to depth, something that I thought about with IU. So Justin Smith, 24 points against Michigan State, played out of his mind.
Yeah, his first half was insane.
It was. So people ask, well, where's that Justin Smith been all year? And he hasn't played as well as he could. But one thing that does happen, Race Thompson is healthy. And
yeah.
I think he's pushing Smith for minutes.
Well, there you
go.
And,
you know, it makes you play harder, makes you play more focused. And he played a great game. So.
And it caused Tom Izzo to be a little whiny baby in the postgame press
conference.
Unbelievable.
I cannot stand him.
I watched that whole video that one of you guys
posted.
I think
I tweeted it,
and I'm like, good gracious almighty, what a whiner. I lost some respect for him there.
To come to Indiana and complain in the postgame about injuries when Indiana's
right.
dealt with that all year.
Yeah.
And Archie, to his credit, he hasn't really talked about that much.
Izzo, I think his resume is starting to slide, in my opinion. He's had really bad March performances the last three seasons. Loses to you guys twice this year. I mean, again, think Izzo with Michigan State shouldn't lose to you guys twice.
They used to say January, February,
yeah.
Izzo. You remember that?
That's right, yeah. I may be a little distracted tonight, Chad. My high school alma mater, the Madisonville Maroons,
yep.
are currently at the half in the Kentucky State Sweet 16 Basketball Championship. They're playing Lincoln County.
Okay.
And I'm getting reports from my friends up there right now. It's 27-21 at the half. And Kenny White just threw down a nasty, thunderous alley-oop dunk. Awesome.
So they're up at halftime.
Maroons. Yeah, they're up at halftime.
Good deal.
Again, I'm Evan Beck, your voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. Chad, the voice of the Indiana Court Rushers. We're going to the phone lines.
Oh, we got somebody on the phone. All right.
Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead. Hey, Kim, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Mom, you're on.
All right. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm excited about those two wins. We'll take anything, right?
Absolutely, we will. What do you got for us?
Chad. Are you going to go to a watch party next week to see Keon Brooks put on an IU hat for
Ooh.
Next year?
Ooh. Evan and I were just talking about that. Yeah, next Friday he's going to announce, and more than likely it's between UK and IU. But
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling – I don't know what to feel on that. I tend to think he's going to sign with Kentucky, but we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll have lots to talk about then with Evan next year, then, won't we?
Yeah, that's right. That's one battle that, from the recruiting standpoint, that both teams have went after. It's pretty unique.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Love to all of you.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for calling, Mom. Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Love
Thank
you,
Kim. Again, to our listeners, our phone lines are open. Number is 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Come on, Hoosier fans. I know that you guys are prepping for this Illinois game. Let's talk about it.
Coach from Murray's in here. We got to get him some Twitter action.
Anything, Dave?
Nothing right now.
All right.
Dave's got no action on Twitter. So I mentioned that we were in Knoxville last weekend, Chad. I had not been down there since 1989. We were down there visiting some really close friends of ours who their daughter is a freshman at University of Tennessee and playing golf for the girls' golf team down there. And, man, the campus has, like most college campuses, but it's really transformed. I mean, the amount of money flowing in to these major conferences is amazing. Got to tour the men's and women's golf practice facility just outside of the campus there. Unbelievable.
No kidding.
I mean, unreal. This, like, the golfing short game practice mecca.
That's but awesome.
All the old-timers down there said they've never seen the Thompson Bowling Arena like that. I mean, it was sold out. The fewest Kentucky fans they've seen in the arena down there because Tennessee fans kept their tickets. The atmosphere was fantastic. And Kentucky got out to a 6-0 lead.
Did they really?
They did.
I didn't see that.
And then it was 14-13 in favor of Tennessee when P.J. picked up his second foul with, I think, 12 minutes to go in the first half. And Kyle Perry set him the entire rest of the first half, and we go into halftime down 13. A lot of debate about you should have played P.J., especially without Reed Travis playing.
Correct.
And I think off the air I told you one thing I definitely underestimated with Reed Travis being out the last four games is our defense has suffered more than I expected with his departure. So we really need to get him back. And so anyway, we got down big in the first half and came out in the second half. We competed a little bit better. We had a chance to cut it to single digits three consecutive possessions, and we missed all of those. And then the fourth chance we had, I think P.J. turned to reverse the ball out of the post and threw it right to Tennessee for a wide-open layup, and that was kind of all she wrote. But one thing that I did experience for the first time, we were sitting with the Kentucky families, the Kentucky players' families.
Yeah.
So immediately to my left were the Hagans, the Heroes, the Washingtons, and the Montgomerys. And, boy, do I have newfound respect for those parents being on the road, because the entire time Tennessee fans right behind us were wearing them out. I mean, it was relentless.
So you're holier than thou, Kentucky fans don't do this. I just think that's a bunch of malarkey.
I can tell you where our opposing parents sit. They sit in my section in Rupp Arena, but they sit down right behind the team's bench. And now there's one reason Rupp doesn't do it like that is because those Kentucky fans sitting down there are not rowdy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Where we were seated in Thompson Bowling Arena was not down. We were in the end zone, 24th row, amongst the rowdy fans.
Yeah. Gin pop.
I mean,
it was general population.
Let me tell you something. It was game on.
Yeah.
And it got awkward. I mean, I'm thick skinned at these games. I've been abused at all these road games my entire life. But there were some periods where I was like, ooh. And PJ's dad's a big man, and he got up, turned around three or four times, looking at this one guy.
Well, it's one thing if you're a fan like yourself, but yep. If it's your son out there,
ooh,
that would
be
different
hard.
To be looked. Absolutely. And I don't like that. I'm not condoning that
right,
stuff.
Right, right. It was just, wow. But, overall, the experience and the city's a lot of fun. We had a great time. Just Kentucky got blown off the court. I mean, our kids reverted back. I think when PJ went out, they kind of freaked out. They became what I mean, you're not supposed to call people dumb, but they became young and dumb again.
Sure.
I mean, Keldon and Tyler Hero and Ashton Hagans, all three played very poorly. It's the first time since the Duke game at the beginning of the year, Chad, that we had like four out of our five starters play badly
right.
on the same night.
Right.
And wow. But Tennessee was, they were ready to roll.
They look good.
They look really
good
that night.
Yeah, they played well last night too.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on the SEC tournament? So Tennessee going to bring a lot of fans down there?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, that may be pretty interesting. Normally it's Lexington South.
It is.
Maybe
there's the same number of Kentucky fans going, but I think the ticket disbursement within the Bridgestone, you're going to see a lot more orange than in years past, no question about it. I'm looking forward to it. You know, right now Kentucky is in the 3-seed spot, which has us playing about 9:30 Friday night, which is a really hard spot to make a run out of, but looking forward to it. There's a chance if Auburn upsets Tennessee this Saturday and Kentucky takes care of business against Florida, we could slide to the 2-seed, which puts us in at 6 o'clock. So I said 9:30. It's actually going to be an 8:30 Central tip.
Where's that Tennessee game at? Is that home for
Tennessee? At Auburn.
Okay.
So there's a chance, but, man, Tennessee looks locked in right now. Let's go back to the phone lines, Chad. We have Shooter on line one. Shooter, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Good evening, Evan. Did you guys know what tonight is? It's the death of Lou Henson.
Huh.
We're excited.
Oh, my gosh.
We're excited as Indiana fans. So we got Keon Brooks' commitment coming up, and obviously everyone knows it's either going to be a blue hat or a red hat. Obviously, Shooter's hoping for a red hat here.
Yep.
But, you know, you look at the Kentucky-Tennessee game, tough, hard-fought game, you know, that's on the road. But Archie Miller's really short stint here really depends on this game coming up here in the next few minutes. I mean, can we get a win at Illinois, try to get us into the tournament? You know, we've got wins against Michigan State and Wisconsin here, two top 25 wins. You know,
breathe.
I don't know.
Breathe, Shooter.
12 out of 15. So getting a little fired up. I promised Chad I'd call in today, but if Indiana loses this game, I mean, you know, we just go back to being in an irrelevant mid-major program playing in the NIT. So,
Shooter, yeah. I have one question before you hang up. Give me your Shooter's key to the game tonight.
Oh, boy.
Shooter's key to the game is really, really simple. Is can Indiana handle the pressure from Illinois?
Okay.
And then also can Romeo Langford actually, you know, insert himself into the offense besides a dribble drive to the right-hand side? As well as does Juwan Morgan show up and give us 15 and 10?
So the one key contained three bullet points.
Yeah,
I guess that's how
excellent.
That works.
One presentation, 3 points.
All right, that's
well
good.
Done, Shooter.
I like it.
All right,
let's
Shooter.
Get it done.
Good luck to you guys. Keon Brooks is wearing the red hat. That's all I got to say. And go IU.
Shooter, thanks for calling it, bud.
Awesome. Yeah, he mentioned the Keon Brooks. That was on my notes tonight to touch on that. This
Me
is
too.
A kid from Fort Wayne. He's been an Indiana lean for a long time. Michigan State's been after him. Kentucky, I guess those three were the top most recent schools, right? Michigan State, Kentucky, Indiana.
I think North Carolina snuck
North Carolina
in a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. I did see that mentioned. And I guess you reached out maybe Monday night. And only thing I can tell real quick is after the Tennessee game, two of the Kentucky assistants told someone that, hey, we just got our butts kicked. It's time to go wrap up a recruit. Again, I want to emphasize supposedly, here's what I understand, Cal Perry flew to Fort Wayne on Monday, met with Keon and the family, maybe with a big bag of cash.
Uh-huh.
And I guess shortly thereafter is when Keon posted his planned announcement, which is going to be at his middle school, which is also a church, next Friday night at 8 o'clock, which is an interesting time.
It is. You guys could be playing at that time,
right? It may happen if Cal says we're the 3 seed. I mean, Cal's done this before. Not all the time, but he's orchestrated some announcements. Keon announces, then we tip off literally like a half hour later.
Sure.
I don't know. Who knows?
Hey, look, and I told you this off the air, that kid can't go wrong. I mean, he go to Kentucky, I get it. I mean,
yep.
He's a great player, development, Coach Cal, that's huge. I'll say that a buddy of mine, Wayne, you know Wayne, calls
sure.
on the show.
Absolutely.
He made a good point. I said I would hate to lose an Indiana kid, and obviously Keon's from Indiana.
Sure.
But as far as a true Indiana kid, he left that when he left Fort Wayne to go to La Lumiere.
Oh,
that's a fair
yeah,
point.
True.
He went to that prep school or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
So he wanted to go big time, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'd be a huge pickup for Indiana, but I'll say this to Hoosier fans. Don't forget that Jerome Hunter basically becomes a recruit of 2019, and him and Keon Brooks are very similar in how they play the game.
True.
Both 6'7", can shoot a little bit. So
very well said there. It's a good point. Okay, folks, that's wrapping up our first segment of Red Blue Hoops. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400. We will be right back with segment two, Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. We are live streaming on WNIN.org. And once again this week, if you want to see our beautiful, handsome faces, go to Facebook. We're on Facebook Live, WNIN.
And look at Dave back there looking all smooth in the middle.
I'm Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. And again, joining me tonight for the voice of the Indiana Court Rushers is Chad Payton. And filling in for Walker, the intern, is Walker's grandfather, Dave, coach from Murray, regular
coach
caller.
Murray. Yeah, absolutely. Good
the
to
reason
have
Dave's
here.
In here is, again, Walker's doing a high school golf obligation. And Dave and I are going down to the OVC tournament.
Awesome.
Right after the show.
Awesome.
So let's talk about the OVC. The Ohio Valley Conference Basketball Championship is in Evansville once again for the second year at the Ford Center. You have the top eight teams from the girls' side and the top eight teams from the boys' side competing for the chance to win the OVC championship.
Hold on now.
Yes,
sir. Clarify
that.
Is there teams that don't make the tournament?
Yeah, OVC.
I did not realize
downsized
that.
It. They okay. streamlined it. Yeah, it's okay. kind of cool. So our beloved Murray State Racers are the two seed.
Yep.
And Murray State will play the second game tomorrow night. They'll play the winner of?
Jacksonville State and Martin, I believe.
Jacksonville State and UT Martin?
I believe.
Is that right? And Jacksonville State rolled Murray State earlier this year on the road.
And they beat Belmont twice.
See, so.
Have they really?
I mean.
So would you guys say this is the deepest the OVC has ever been?
Not ever. No,
okay,
no, no.
Okay.
No, back in the 90s. Tennessee State and Murray State were loaded. They both had people getting drafted by the NBA. I mean, Belmont has an NBA kid.
Yep, from
and
Indiana,
Murray
right?
Murray State, there's over 30 NBA scouts already in Evansville coming to Evansville for the OVC tournament. So, folks, all of our basketball fans out there, get downtown, go to the Ford Center, support the Ohio Valley Conference basketball tournament. It's going to be a lot of entertainment. You're going to see one of the best players in the nation, Ja Morant, sophomore from Murray State, who's
Monster.
Projected – top three draft picks in the NBA draft come up this spring as a sophomore who coming out of high school in South Carolina was only a two-star recruit, Chad. Were you a two-star or one-star?
Two and a half stars. Yeah. Yeah. I was a two-star, and they read about that
three-pointers in 30 seconds.
Not good enough to move him up to a three, but two and a half. So how about that?
Let's go back to our phone lines. Wayne, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go
Wayne-o.
Ahead, Wayne. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, dude?
Well, just traveling to get ready to watch the Hoosiers. So let's see that. Hopefully, Chad will see you in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Win tonight.
I'll be there, brother.
A couple points here I really want to say, and I know this is probably a little taboo for me, but I will say this, is that I've heard this thing of Coach of the Year and different people, and I know Coach Cal's not really been mentioned in that. And in my humble opinion, in reality, as much as I'm not a UK fan, I really think this is probably one of his better overall coaching jobs that he's done at Kentucky.
I would agree. I mean, I agree. Evan, you're shaking your head.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Wayne, I can't disagree with that. I mean, Indiana's had a lot of injuries this year, and then obviously Kentucky. We had Jamal Baker out for the first eight games of the year, and now we've had Reed Travis out. And for him to go 3-1 without Reed Travis and most of that on the road has been impressive to me.
Yeah, I definitely think so, too. And that's – I mean, he's won games with people been injured. I know he had the issue, I think, early, which I thought – and I've told Chad multiple times, you know, with Quad A Green leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just key and critical. And that team just moved forward after that and just really has been a really pretty good ball club after that time.
I agree.
And then the next thing I really like to say is, and I know I've told Chad this with Archie Miller, you know, in Indiana, I think the multiple injuries that Indiana's had has really exposed some weaknesses in Archie's coaching ability.
We were just talking about that.
I don't think that he's necessarily a bad coach, but I think there's things that he just is not prepared for to meet that you'd have to coach at the big time level as you would have to coach in the Big Ten. I think having, you know, Rob Finney not having a really good backup point guard for him has really been devastating since Finney's been back, really healthy, we played better.
Yep.
And then the fact that our offense is just so anemic when we just don't move the ball, we don't set screens away from the ball, everything's a kind of a three-man weave at the top of the key. And I just see those are the things that really bothers me the most. But I think Indiana getting healthy kind of at the right time here.
Oh, yeah.
Might have it, but we'll see.
No,
we'll
you're spot on about that. And I tell you one thing that a lot of our listeners may not realize, the injuries don't just – have implications for game time. It's the prep time. It's the practice time that
Absolutely.
Injuries can have a huge, huge impact on.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, because you're right. You know, in practices and trying to, you know, hey, can I play this player? I don't have this player coming off the bench. Those
yep.
are all just strong points that you have to make.
Yep.
But there was still enough talent that we shouldn't have got beat
right.
I mean,
Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska, teams like that.
Yeah, Nebraska at home and Rutgers on the road and the Northwestern. Those are teams that we really should have been able to come out with the win.
That's true.
And to be honest with you, that's what set us back to this point. It's really put kind of Archie on that – on the kind of that hot seat a little bit.
That's right.
Indiana fame.
I agree.
So
hey, well,
anyway, guys, I appreciate it. I hope the Murray State Racers can get this done. I'm certainly rooting for them.
Thank you.
Let's see what happens. But hey, talk to you guys later. See you in a bit, Chad.
Wayne, I'll see you. Thanks,
Wayne.
Buddy.
Thanks, man. Hey, one quick comment. He mentioned Cal Perry on that call, and Cal Perry did notch his 300th win. At Kentucky.
I saw that, yep.
And did it in about 3+ years less than what it took Joby Hall. Now, we've played more games now than we did back then, but still that was pretty quick. But
what is he, like 360 or something like that? Maybe less than that.
342,
yeah.
I think, something like that. Sick. But, you know, Chad, we've talked about these flex schedules in the conferences. And what we mean by that, since conferences have added teams to where you can't have a balanced schedule like in the old days, we played every team home, every team away.
Yep.
SEC, Big Ten are both the same boat now. We can't do that. And the flex schedule, check this out, has had a huge implication on the SEC championship this year. It looks like LSU's going to win it. They play Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt
is horrible. Wow.
But they almost beat Tennessee twice.
Did they?
Yes. They got the game taken by that hook and hold call at Vanderbilt.
That's right.
So anyway, but check this out. KenPom. SEC strength of schedule. This is ranking the SEC games against each other.
Okay.
Kentucky is fifth on that list.
I saw this. Okay.
LSU is 13th.
Yep.
Tennessee is 14th.
That's amazing.
Now, again, check that out. The hardest strength of schedules in the conference are Georgia, Vandy, South Carolina, and Mississippi. That makes sense because they're teams that are struggling and their strength of schedule is out of balance. But for our top other two teams, LSU and Tennessee to be last in that. That points to the flex scheduling does not provide an equitable opportunity for every team to compete for the championship, in my opinion.
I would like to do those stats on the Big Ten because Purdue's the same way.
Yep.
Their flex schedule allowed them some games to be in contention for the Big Ten title. Because that Purdue, and I tweeted this the other night, they are the worst, best team I've ever seen. I mean, that team, they just are not – you look at them and they're like – your buddy, Carson Edwards, you see what he did the other
shot
night?
30 times, is
six
that right?
31.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is Painter thinking? Everybody says he's a great scorer, but you should not shoot the ball 31 times. Hold on. Maria, we're going to need his mic on here. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay, somebody told me of one conference that was going to schedule their last five games based on their records after the season started.
Really?
To adjust.
How about that?
I forget which conference it was, but somebody told me they're doing that because they figure they can get a higher RPI or a lower net rating, whatever you want to call it now, by playing tougher competition at the
end. Gotcha. Okay. So that's trying to help their conference out,
sure,
per se.
Sure.
Interesting. Great comment there. You know, back to Wayne's comment about Cal Perry, I mean, done a good job. He leads the nation in top quadrant one wins this year.
So – the lunch bet comes down to
– to the last game of the season.
Wow.
How about that?
Florida at Rupp,
Florida
right?
at Rupp. And
that's not an easy game.
Florida,
I mean, it's a tricky
Florida
game. They need that
LSU
bad.
Florida had LSU beat last night.
Yes.
And another controversial non-goaltending call helps LSU get the road win at Florida. But
maybe Will Wade's paying off these referees.
Oh,
I mean, he's paying everybody
Christian
else.
Dawkins. I'll tell you, let's go back to the phone lines here, folks. I think we have Alan. Is this Alan from Birdseye?
It is, guys.
All right, Alan, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
What's up, big dog?
Mr. IPA himself.
Okay, first off, Chad.
Yes, sir.
Bone to pick with you.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Good.
Come on.
I believe it was last week you were on this rant about the IU assistant coaches.
I was. I went off on those guys. Yes.
Now, go back to the end, I believe it was, wasn't the end of regulation, end of overtime.
Bruiser Flint?
When the ball was tipped.
Absolutely.
Who saved the game right there?
Bruiser Flint did. He made his money for the year. You're exactly right. I saw that and thought that too.
Okay, Alan, just for a second, let me interject here real quick. Bruiser Flint is a descendant of which head coach?
Oh my gosh. Cheating Cal.
You cannot force me to say this.
Yeah, he's part of the Calipari La Familia, or what do they call it? He's part of the every Final Four, Calipari has a big dinner, all of his former assistant coaches, and Bruiser Flint's at that table.
There you go.
Well, and, you know, I've heard this, but isn't there also a connection with Calipari and Archie?
Yes.
There is.
Yeah, that's right. More of just a family tie. Yeah, they.
Well, Cal played for his dad, high school ball, right?
I don't recall that. But I know the families are close. Yeah. I definitely can confirm that, yeah.
All right. Move on to the next point. As much as I hate to say it, Illinois is a 2-point favorite tonight.
Yes.
And I don't care how Illinois has played this year before last, 3 years ago. When we walk in that place, we might as well be walking into West Lafayette.
Sure.
Because it's the same thing. They are up, and all they want to do is put a drubbing on us.
You're right. You are right.
If we make it through tonight and get a win, and I don't say that with any disrespect because I greatly appreciate the effort, the defense that the team has played the last couple of weeks. I know a couple of games, you know, they didn't actually come out with the W, but I've seen a big change in them. So, and then the next thing, I guess I'm going to have to apologize to Devontae for his
me too.
Comparison simply because of his time on court to turnover ratio against Michigan State.
He played well. Yeah.
So
a lot of Hoosier fans eating crow.
I'll eat some crow there and say, you know, I maybe called him out too soon, but you know, when you've had the year he's had, and I don't know, I really and truly am beginning to think that it's just a thing that he really thought he was going to be the man this year.
Yep.
And Fennessy come in and showed him up a few times and took his minutes away. I don't really want to use this on someone his age, but I think he has been pouting a little bit this year.
I 100% agree. I think that's exactly what happened. Yep.
But,
Chad does it some.
That's right.
Kevin, come on.
Get some Jameson rolling up there in Birdseye tonight.
Jameson, that's right.
Oh, Petey Weedy.
We need to stay away from Jameson.
That's a smart move.
I'll second that.
Woo. You guys are rolling.
But if we hang out again, I'd be all for it, though, Alan, and we need to do that.
Well, I'm looking forward to next year, and I'm talking about Bar Louie's.
Sure.
Stan has already said, hey, we're going back, Alan.
I love it. Return.
So, that's great.
But anyway, that's about all I got for tonight, guys. And go Hoosiers.
Alan, text me tonight after a win.
I will do it.
All right, man.
See you, Alan. See ya. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Wow. Some interesting stuff. I mean, a lot of Indiana fans are starting to eat some crow, aren't they? Aren't you guys? You
and
guys
I love it. I would rather do that in this situation.
I would have been the same way. I mean, I don't have much patience for bad basketball.
That's right.
It's awful. Although I was so well behaved, even our friends, again, they're big Tennessee fans that were with us at the game, after the game, they're like, wow, Evan, we were kind of surprised how well behaved you were. I said, well, I was fearful for these players' parents and Tennessee fan. I mean, two fans in that section got arrested that were Tennessee fans and taken out of the arena. I mean, it was freaking wild, dude.
That is funny.
They were, and this is like an afternoon game, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, something like that. But anyway,
hey, I do want to point out this guy right here.
Oh yeah, Trey Harris.
I'm intrigued by.
He's
Trey.
He's got a question for us. It says LSU basketball number one seed in the SEC tournament? ? Yes, they will be the one seed in the SEC tournament 100%. Even if they lose to Vandy, they're still going to be the one seed.
Well, so, and Trey too. Thanks for the follow. I think he lives in. I don't know. He might be a Tennessee fan or something. I'm intrigued why he got connected to the
show. I've had some Tennessee followers on Twitter and some other stuff going on. All right, let's go back to our let's go to our final break of the night, and we'll be back with more Red Blue Hoops on WNIN 88.3. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers. Win.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com. Support for Red Blue Hoops also comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. I'm Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. Joining me again tonight for the Indiana Court Rushers is Chad Payton.
Just won't let it go.
The music during our break, Archie and the Pickers.
That's right.
All right, Chad, Kentucky, again, they got smoked at Tennessee by 19 points. Wow. Now we beat them by 17 in Rupp. Only difference is we had Reed Travis when we played him in Rupp. Anyway, Kentucky had to go back on the road.
Yeah, against a tough opponent.
Ole Miss, who had Tennessee beat the week previous. And Ole Miss is playing well underneath new coach Kermit Davis, formerly at Middle Tennessee State.
Correct. Good coach there.
I like him. I listened to his entire press conference the other night. Well-spoken coach. I like his demeanor. Maybe I liked it because he was very complimentary of Kyle Perry and the Kentucky players, but I didn't, you know, seriously, he was a very well-spoken coach. But a good bounce back for our kids. The young kids that played so poorly at Tennessee, Hagans, Hero, Keldon, Johnson, all came out with a great bounce back game. Some of our Kentucky fans, maybe some of the Indiana fans, may have seen a situation during the Tennessee game. During a timeout, Kyle Perry calls the huddle. Kyle Perry sits down. Hero apparently says something.
Yep.
Kyle Perry jumps right in his face, finger pointed straight at Hero's nose, and tells Hero to shut the
leap up, yep,
and got on him pretty good. And there's a lot of soft fans out there that were worried about that. And I knew after getting to know the Hero family, that's exactly what they wanted when they came to Kentucky. And Hero bounces back, does not miss a shot in the first half on the road at Ole Miss.
I texted you because his draft stock has been going
up. It is.
And he made that one. He stole the ball in the paint and went coast to coast. 6'7" kid, right?
6'6". He's 6'6" now. Yep.
Floater in the lane.
Just
that was impressive.
Awesome.
I don't think he missed a shot in the first half.
Did not miss a shot in the first half. And our team, I mean, we shot 55% from the field, 44% from three. We only took 9 threes and scored 80 points.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And we only shot 70% from the free throw line. And the reason I say only 70, 70 is typically a good target number for a team. But, man, Keldon Johnson, Chad, his free throw shooting's gone in the dumps. He was 3 of 7. I mean, he's down to like 50% his last 6 games with the free throw line.
So,
and that's concerning because he's a kid that can drive and create contact.
Fouls, yeah.
But one thing that I'm paying more attention to about this specific Kentucky team, and for all of our Kentucky fan listeners out there, you can start keeping track of this yourself, is when we're in offensive sets, when the ball somehow gets into the paint, whether it's a dribble drive or a post-entry pass, quote-unquote a paint touch.
Sure.
We're so much more effective. At Tennessee, we had 22 paint touches. At Ole Miss, we had 47.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a focus,
guys. Kyle Perry's goal is 45 per game. Now, Tennessee had a strategy to keep us out of the paint, obviously, but our perimeter players, our guard play, became selfish and got away from the game plan. So If you see Kentucky get the ball in the paint, we're typically going to be highly effective. Who doesn't matter who we're playing. So that's pretty interesting to say. But happy with – I mean, Hero scored 20 points. Keldon Johnson had 22. Hagans had a good second half. EJ and Nick Richards are giving us some pretty decent minutes. They still have a lot to learn, though.
How about Tyler Hero free throws on the road?
Hasn't missed one all year.
Amazing.
His free throw shooting right now for the season, folks, let's dig into those numbers just because
he's probably going after Kyle Macy, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to smoke past Kyle Macy. Tyler Herro right now on the season is 73 out of 78 for 93.6%.
That's pretty good.
It's incredible. I don't think he's missed a shot since late December. A free throw shot, I mean. It's incredible.
He's got swag, man.
He does have swag.
Especially on the road. It does not surprise me. He loves shutting up the crowd, man.
Yeah, he really does.
I like that, and that's what I'm looking for.
Speaking of the road, one of my favorite times is when we can say, well, for you guys after tonight, but for Kentucky, we have no more road games. We're done with road games. It's all home and neutral court for us, and that's a big transition because obviously being so young, I mean, on the road's tough. I think we finished 8-2 this year in true road games.
Yeah,
which is pretty good. And I think of those 10 games, 7 of those were quad one teams that
right.
we played on the road. So
right.
pretty impressive there. So so you still getting a little nervous? You feeling good? Getting more nervous about the Illinois game? Or
yeah, I just for some reason I feel like I'm a little nervous. I always am. I feel like I'm getting ready to play. You know,
yeah,
but
sure.
For some reason I think Indiana's confident. I think they're going to win 72-64. I think they're going to play well. Go wire
I mean,
to wire.
Defense can breed confidence for you.
Exactly.
There's
I
no
think
question.
Archie. They asked Archie about that, and he said that the team is playing with a lot more confidence. And they asked the why behind that, and he said that what you exactly. He's like, look,
no
it's
question.
It's not so confidence comes from all kinds of different places. For us, it's coming from our defense.
Yep.
And because we don't shoot the ball very well, that's well documented.
Sure.
We know that.
Yep.
But when guys out there like Fennessy and are getting after these guys and Justin Smith's playing hard and Deron Davis is healthy and Race Thompson's in there getting rebounds, we got a chance. And I think if we can get into the tournament, I think we make a little bit of noise, and that would be interesting. Very odd season for IU. Prior to them losing 12 of 13, we had won 7 in a row. Fennessy hit that buzzer beater against Butler. That was
yeah.
a pretty cool thing. And then now, if we could close out the year so we could – win 7 in a row, lose 12 of 13, and then win 4 in a row. So kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but there's reasons for that. And
right.
Injuries are documented, other
yep.
things, coaching. But, you know, Archie has a chance with the IU fan base to really win some back with a good ending here in March.
All right, Madisonville Maroons. Again, my alma mater's playing this Kentucky Sweet 16. Wow, they were up 8 a minute ago. I checked my phone. The other team cut it to 3. With 2:14 to go, now it's 49-44 Madisonville.
There you go.
Go Maroons. Wow, it's awesome.
Get the dub.
I do have a little bit of some sobering news for the Kentucky fan base out there. All of our national title teams, which we have had 8 in our history, Chad, all 8 of those teams won in Knoxville. This year's team lost in Knoxville. So
it's over.
Doesn't bode well.
Should call Cal and say, don't even play the tournament. I mean, just...
Now, Cal Perry's lost 4 in a row in Knoxville.
No kidding.
Yeah. Struggled down there.
So how about Rick Barnes then? He's doing a pretty good job down there.
He is. Very well liked down there in Knoxville. And don't know if you're paying attention to his recruiting. If not, you should. He's got some good kids coming in next year, and he just got a commitment from a 5-star in the 2020 class.
No kidding.
After beating Kentucky. So – keep an eye on him. But, yeah, that loss in Knoxville could be doom for Kentucky cutting the nets down in Minneapolis this year. So, also in Knoxville, I tweeted a little story about one of my favorite referees, Joel Lindsay. Joel Lindsay teed up Kyle Perry in that game. They were going at it.
He did tee him up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He teed him up, Joel
yeah.
Lindsay. And for our listeners that don't know my history with Joel,
He's
the one that almost kicked me out of Rupp Arena years ago when Gillespie was a coach. And all I said was, hey, ref, 23 got hammered, called the foul, and he almost had me tossed from the arena. So obviously he's proven he's sensitive, right?
Well, they call that rabbit ears.
He's got rabbit ears. So he almost kicked me out of Rupp. He is the ref that missed the infamous goaltending non-call against LSU in Rupp this year. He was standing right underneath the goal when that happened. Then he teased up Kyle Perry the other day, and I tweeted that, and I don't know. I'm keeping my eye on that guy. He's on my list. Have you guys
Kentucky
had any
Kentucky fans think everybody's out to get you?
Well, absolutely they are. I mean,
the coaches are.
When you're at the top of the flagpole, Chad, the wind blows harder.
Yeah, that could
when
be true.
When you guys are down here missing the tournament 60% of the time, the wind's not blowing that hard down there.
Oh, boy. Well, I can't say anything. Maybe 20 years from now when we're doing red-blue and we're all retired and doing our thing, maybe IU will be back
at
that
the top
way.
Of the flagpole?
Exactly.
Well, I thought this year you were going to be for the show, but it didn't quite work out. So
I was thinking about that. Can you imagine this show in the late 80s, early 90s?
Oh, it'd be insane.
It would be insane.
But that's back when we were playing every year, and we went on that stretch. We were 17-5 against you guys during that time frame. We were smoking you with Tubby and the guys.
I don't remember that, but
go back and look at the numbers.
From when to when? When would that have been from?
I think it was during the – that would be the Patino-Tubby era. I think it was 17-5.
Because I remember waxing you guys in Rupp. When was that, like 88 maybe? That was beforehand. That might have been when you guys were the Unforgettables and all those guys. Were.
Unforgettables was 92.
But they were freshmen in 88,
I was in Rupp for the last time Indiana played us there. That's when Bobby Knight's last coach game in Rupp, I was there. And I watched Bob Knight. I was sitting second row across the court from Indiana's bench. He took out a kid. This is back when the shorts were really short. He took out some kid. I remember he was a white kid. Remember vividly. And Bob Knight took the clipboard and slapped him so hard across the top of the thighs. And it was while Kentucky was shooting free throws, so Rupp was dead quiet.
Made a noise.
Dude, it was like, whap! And let me tell you something. I mean, I was at the time, let's see, 86, so I was in the I was 16 years old. I mean, it scared the you-know-what out of me. Because I mean, Bob's a big dude.
He is a big dude. Speaking of him.
Was it Mark Isle or someone like that? White kid?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that. Somebody go back in 86.
Steve Isle.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway.
Coach Knight, though, did you hear what Fish said about him? He's not doing real well.
Yeah, I know.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I hate that for anybody.
I do. But heck, he wished everybody would die. Remember that story?
That was brutal.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that, though.
So the lunch bet, Chad, let's do an update. So our lunch bet currently stands, if Kentucky loses Saturday against Florida in Rupp Arena, you win.
That's right.
But the good news is, if Kentucky beats Florida in Rupp, I win.
You do, but you win nothing, though, because this was all you put all your stuff up.
I don't get anything.
I mean, outside of you winning maybe I'll buy you a beer next week or something.
Just no Jameson.
No
Jameson. No IPAs.
Oh, no kidding, because those were terrible.
So we've talked a lot about injuries, and you guys are getting back. You're pretty much healthy. Everyone's back on playing.
We are.
Except for Hunter. He's out
correct,
for the
correct, correct.
So, obviously, big injury for Kentucky. Reed Travis. What's the status of Reed Travis? As of today, I'm told it's not certain he'll play this Saturday against Florida. But it is certain that he will play in the tournaments. So,
and I wonder at what percent. I mean, is it an injury that's going to nag him? He's going to be 80%?
Madisonville is going to win. They're up 53-47 with 48 seconds to go. Go Maroons.
Boom.
On to the
congratulations.
Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 in Lexington, one of the greatest high school sporting events in the country. Seriously. They're actually – Indiana's been talking about how much their ticket sales have gone down since they went to the – whatever you guys have, the classification system. Because you guys used to have it. Remember, everybody used to meet in the Dome, RCA Dome?
Damon Bailey's senior year was 42,000 people watching a high school basketball
Bingo.
Game. That's still a record. Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You guys took a great model and broke it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people complain about the small schools can't win. But in Kentucky, some of the small schools have still won over the years.
So on Kentucky high school basketball.
Yes, sir.
I just read where I think his name's Deontay Allen. Does that sound right? Deontay
Pendleton
Allen?
County, Kentucky basketball commitment.
There's
signee.
Some upheaval about that. Can you go into that? What's going on with it?
This week, Deontay Allen was named the Mr. Basketball in the state of Kentucky.
Yep.
The controversy is he only played 13 games, which is one game less than half of their regular season schedule. Okay. Now, at the time, he was averaging 43 points a game.
I saw that. It's big time.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't against the highest level of competition. There's a kid out of Trinity in Louisville, David Johnson, who's a Louisville commitment. Obviously, the Louisville Cardinal fans are up in arms over this.
Right.
But there's a kid in Western Kentucky, University Heights in Hopkinsville, who Madisonville beat in the regional finals. His name is Kiki Tandy, going to Xavier.
Kentucky was looking at him, too, weren't they?
Until his dad talked to Cal.
That's right. I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Kiki is going to Xavier, had a heck of a season. He dropped 42 against Evansville Wrights up here one night, and he didn't get the award. So, yeah, definitely controversial, for sure.
Is that kid a five-star player?
Who? Deontay Allen. No, yeah. He's a four-star. He's,
okay.
He is in the – no, he's like what's his ranking? 60s maybe, something like that.
Best
70.
Player from the state of Kentucky in a while? For Kentucky to play for Kentucky?
Not in a while. Our last Mr. Basketball to play at UK was Dominique Hawkins, who had a really good career at Kentucky.
Okay.
So, but our first Mr. Basketball since – that would have been 2014 was Dominique's freshman year. So, yeah, that was 13-14. So, this is 19-20. So, it's been 6 years since we got a Mr. Basketball at UK. So, pretty cool. Awesome. Maroons. That's
congratulations
exciting.
On that.
I wish I could be up there tonight.
Heck, yeah.
Let's talk about our rankings, Chad. KenPom, Indiana is currently coming in here tonight at 47.
That's right.
Your defense – is up to 23, which we mentioned earlier in the show.
Yep.
Offense 107, still your kind of your anchor.
Yep.
Dragging you down a little bit. Your strength of schedule is number 5 in the nation.
Yep.
Pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
Your non-conference strength of schedule is 185. Kentucky's in at 9th. Our offense is 13th. Our defense is 8. Our offense has dipped a little bit without Reed Travis. PJ Washington's production's gone down. People have been really chatting about that, Chad, but PJ missed 2 halves of basketball due to foul trouble. So, anyway, your net ranking for Indiana is 56. You guys are on the bubble. Kentucky's in at number 5. Murray State's at 50. Belmont's at 45.
I'm going to point out last year, right now, IU was 65 in defense, and we are 23 now. So, there's a big improvement
on
that.
Huge improvement. Wow.
Now, this is the intriguing part. This year, we're 107 in offense, and we were 96 last year, so we actually took a step backwards on offense, and we added some pretty key players. But Robert Johnson could shoot the 3 well last year for us. So,
who else shot? Well, Juwan was shooting better threes this time last year.
He didn't. He has not shot very well this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. But the defense is playing well. So
again, the OVC tournament in Evansville, downtown at the Ford Center, the Ohio Valley Conference, Murray State, with one of the top players in the country, Ja Morant. Folks, get out, support your local community, buy
Absolutely.
A ticket. Oh, Dave Carr, Coach of Murray, he and I are going down there tonight to watch some games, and Chad's going to be in the house tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got Murray State, the 50th-ranked team in the country, Belmont.
Belmont's the real deal, too.
They've got an NBA kid, too. It's projected late first round, early second round. So a lot of great basketball action right here in downtown Evansville, Division I. And it's going to be on national TV, ESPNU, on Saturday. So, again, the Racers go on the court about 9:30 tomorrow night. ESPN2 for Saturday, ESPNU for Friday.
Sorry there you go.
That.
Good deal.
Folks, this has been a lot of fun tonight. This is our 10th show of the season. Next week will be our last
the
show
finale.
For Red Blue Hoops for this year's basketball season. Chad, good luck. I know you're nervous tonight. We're going to get out of here. This is Evan and Chad signing out. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, everything we do for you. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.